Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Today, on this side of the wall, as our kids dive into God's Word over there, we're going to dive into a new teaching series here today. We're going to be in the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. Our goal in this series is not just to brush up on our ancient history, but to join the generations of people who have looked back on the story of God and His people and the children of Israel, look back on those stories to see the faithfulness and the power of God in and through His people. And not just that we would study and learn, but that we would glean those perspectives for our story and our lives today. Our series is going to begin at what could be considered a watershed moment in the story of God's people. Now, a watershed moment is a moment or an event that literally changes the course of history. Just this past week on Wednesday, we remembered a watershed moment in the life of our country with the attacks of 9/11. In so many ways, our world, our nation has not been the same since that day. That's a picture of a watershed moment. And of course, not all watershed moments are as tragic in scale as that. I have a picture of another watershed moment. Maybe you can tell me what it is. This is from 1435. Any guesses? Printing press. Thank you. Yes, the printing press. As you're holding your paper copy of Scripture, you're holding the fruit of this invention, this watershed moment. It changed the course of history. Here's another one that might still be in your, well, I hope this specific one's not in your pocket. This was the original iPhone 1. Yeah, watershed moment, right? 2007, Steve Jobs introduced an electronic device that has forever changed our world. It's hard to imagine that at some point not so long ago, there weren't endless phishing videos and GPS maps in your pocket. It was not that long ago. But this watershed moment has changed us. Of course, as we think of moments that change the trajectory of history, it wouldn't be hard to argue at all that the cross of Calvary is the ultimate watershed moment. We still date our newspapers and our checks by the life of Jesus. We find life and forgiveness in Him, a watershed moment that's changed history. Watershed moments. Today, we begin at a story that is really taking shape hundreds of years before Jesus. It's a watershed moment in the life of God's people. This moment comes as they are about to enter the promised land. Many of them have waited their entire lives for this moment. And Joshua, he's a man who apprenticed under Moses for many years and is now the new leader of God's people, and it's time to get going. It's a watershed moment in the story of God's people. Let's dive in today to the story of Joshua at chapter 1, verse 1. The text will be on the screen. It's in a YouVersion Bible plan today if you are a YouVersion app user. Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. I'll tell you what, let's pray before we dive into God's Word. Let's just ask Him to open our hearts. Would you bow with me? Father in heaven, as we prepare to step into Your Word, God, would You prepare our hearts to receive? Lord, tune our ears to hear Your Word, the truth of Your Word, and Your Spirit today as You speak through Your Word to us. We love You. We want You to get the glory in all that is said and done today. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua 1:1 says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people,'" speaking of the children of Israel, "'you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to to the Israelites. Now, this watershed moment is really coming in the middle of a much longer story in the story of God's people. In these opening verses, what's happening, what's being conveyed, is that this book is linked to a story that's gone on before. This is not a new story with God's people. And that's important for us as we begin this journey into Joshua. It's not an isolated incident. This is a part of an overarching story of God's faithfulness to his people. And this story really begins all the way back in Genesis 12. Now, exhale, we're not going to go verse by verse from Genesis 12. Relax. But this story begins all the way back there. And it begins with Abraham. God had promised this man named Abraham that his descendants would outnumber the stars in the sky and that they would have their own land. It would be a land given to them by God himself. The promise began. Fast forward several hundred years, these descendants of promise are now enslaved in Egypt. And God calls a man, a leader named Moses, to lead his people out of captivity, out of the bondage of Egypt, and into this promised land. Through miraculous signs and wonders that culminated in the Passover and the crossing of the Red Sea, God delivers his people from the bondage of Egypt. Moses continues in this role as the leader of God's people, and despite their frequent failures and shortcomings, until finally they arrive in Numbers 13 and 14, they arrive at the border of the promised land. Finally, we made it. They're at the border of the promised land. And they send out a group of spies to survey the land, and they come back with a not-so-great report. They come back, 10 of the 12 come back and say that there's giants and fortified cities, and they begin to promote fear into the heart of God's people. And on the brink of the promised land that has been hundreds of years in the making, the people turn back. They will not take a step into God's promised land. Fear won out that day. Fear won out. That decision, that disobedience would cost an entire generation their lives. All except two. A man named Caleb and a man named Joshua. Of who the scriptures tell us that they were men of a different spirit, a different heart. This failure, they were so close, but this failure marked the beginning of 40 years of wilderness wanderings. And we read that throughout the scriptures in the Old Testament. Moses, their trusted leader and friend of God, even he disobeys God in the course of this wandering, and he's not allowed into the promised land either. It's going to be someone new who carries forward God's promise for his people, and that man is Joshua. That man is Joshua. As we arrive in our teaching text today in the book of Joshua, he's taking over leadership. It's kind of a commissioning, if you will. But we need to understand this is not the beginning of Joshua's story. We see Joshua show up way back in the early narratives of Exodus. Back in chapter 17, he's shown as being a mighty warrior in defeating the Amalekites. He's known as an assistant, kind of a protege, an apprentice of Moses himself, and he often accompanied him to the tabernacle. So what we see is that he's not only a warrior, he's a worshiper. He's a worshiper. Joshua followed the Lord faithfully throughout his life, and now after 40 years of waiting, 40 years of wandering, they're standing just on the other side of God's promised land. A promise hundreds of years in the making is about to be realized. And Joshua is the man of the hour. Deep breath. How are we doing? That's a couple hundred years of biblical history right there in a couple minutes. You okay? All right. I feel like we should take a break here. We got a lot of ground to cover. Let's continue in the story. Verse 3 says, God speaking says, I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Again, that language of a long-standing promise. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, God had given the people the land. It was now time for them to step out in faith and live into the promise that God had made to them. This promise, of course, was not going to be without its challenges. There were flooded rivers and fortified cities. There were real giants in the way, hard battles to be fought. This new life would require faith to triumph over fear if they were going to see it. Joshua is the one who is called to lead his people into this new life, into the battle, into these seemingly impossible situations. But note carefully, he's not called to do it alone. Don't miss the latter half of verse 5. It says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's interesting to me that as God is calling Joshua to take on all these impossibilities, he doesn't say, I'm going to give you bigger, badder weapons to beat them with. He doesn't say, Joshua, I need you to come here. I've got a new military strategy. No, he says, I'm going with you. It's the power of God's presence. It's the power of God's presence. In the past, Joshua had seen this. He had a front row seat to see just what God could do. And now he's got the promise saying, Joshua, I'm going with you. I'm going with you. We're going to do this together. Verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. I love here that the promise of God's presence comes before the command to be strong and courageous. So what that tells me is that this was not about Joshua being a super warrior or a superhero. This was about what God was about to do. He needed Joshua to have faith. Be strong and courageous. This idea of being strong is to hold firm, to hold fast, to be steady, to be confident. And courageous is a boldness and a strength. And that's to be Joshua's response to the Lord's presence. It's as if God says, Joshua, I'm with you. I am your strength. Joshua, I'm with you. Be strong because I'm here. You're going to do this. Be bold because we're doing it together. It's not about Joshua. Certainly, he is God's chosen leader, but it was God's strength that was to be his comfort and his guide. It was God's strength that would bring about ultimate victory for his people. Be strong and courageous. Let's continue in verse 7 as the commissioning continues. He says again, be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very, takes it up a notch. Very courageous. Be careful. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then, important word right there, then you will be prosperous and successful. So first, Joshua is commanded to be strong and courageous because of God's presence. And here in this second time around, he's told to be strong and very courageous through obedience to God's word. Part of Moses' legacy in the story of God's people was that he was recording the laws of God for his people. This idea of Mosaic covenant, if you will, it was outlining the terms and the conditions of life with God. And here that is being brought forth as God commands Joshua, look, you need to find your strength and your boldness in my word. In my word. Joshua was to keep it always on his mouth, always on his mind, guiding his life. And we can't miss the condition here. At the very end, it says, then. When you're living in my land, my way, then you're going to be prosperous and successful. And this was not like the first version of the prosperity gospel. That's not it at all. This is covenant language in the story of God's people. The key to life in God's promised land was living God's way according to his word. Joshua was to be strong and courageous in obedience to God's word. He says one more time in verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Even though God was giving them this land, he had promised it to them. Victory is theirs, but it wasn't going to be easy. There were real battles to fight. There were real impossibilities, real seeming impossibilities ahead. A real reason, perhaps, to be afraid, to get discouraged. And so you see in a rhetorical question here, have I not commanded you? Of course he has. He's done it two times already. But God's chosen leader and God's people are given a choice. Will they go forward this time? Will they take a step of faith knowing that God's presence will go with them and they can live out obediently to his word? Will they go forward in faith? Or would they succumb to fear and disobedience? We don't have to look far for the answer. The very next verse says that, so Joshua, in light of this commissioning, in light of God promising him his presence, Joshua orders the officers of the people. He says, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Joshua says, let's go. Get your stuff ready. We can do this. God is with us. That's the story of Joshua. The rest of the book outlines their journey into the promised land, the promised gift that God was giving them. Over the next 8 weeks or so, we're going to take this journey with Joshua and the children of Israel as they live into the promises of God for their lives. Literally, the first steps that they have to take from this commissioning, this text, is they're heading towards a flooded river. The River Jordan was at flood stage. But yet God says, go. On the other side of that flooded river is a fortified city by the name of Jericho. What are we going to do about that? Step after seemingly impossible step, God sees them through. Through Joshua's leadership, God brings his people into the promised land. It's an amazing story displaying God's faithfulness and his power to fulfill his plans for his people. As good as that sounds, if I was in your seat, I'd probably be still asking a question. Now, if you know me, and asking questions is not anything new. But I would probably be still asking a question like, why? Why are we going to take 8 weeks to study Joshua, reading stories from thousands of years ago about war and land and all these things that can honestly seem a little distant from life today, right? Maybe your brain doesn't work that way. I think it's a good question. And so I'd like to ask you a question this morning. By a show of hands, this is participation, so work with me here, okay? Nobody's keeping score, nobody's looking around, but by a show of hands today, as you think about your life, your faith walk, your journey with Jesus, has living out that life, have you ever struggled and wrestled with that? Yeah. Yeah. Has it been really hard at different times? Yeah. Is there anyone in here today that you've been up against a situation that seemed impossible? Yeah. Have you ever been against an impossible situation and you felt like, if God doesn't move, I'm not going to make it? Yeah. Have you ever faced fear or doubt? Yeah. Have you ever messed up? Can I just say that, and I want to be really clear, my hands are up for all of this. Friends, there's real life struggles to living out our faith. Real challenges. And friends, that's the story of Joshua. Yeah, it's different. But we see God's people encountering struggles and challenges. And look, I don't think you're worried about how to break down fortified walls. If you are, please come talk to me. We probably need to have a conversation about that. But right, we do face challenges. We do face impossibilities. And what we see in the book, in the story of Joshua, is the people of God are coming into real obstacles, real challenges. And in the face of all of those things, we see the presence of God time and time again in his faithfulness move on behalf of his people and make a way. That's the story of Joshua. What's fascinating to me is that although this book bears Joshua's name, it's really not about him at all. Of course, I mean, he's God's man, he's the leader, but this book is highlighting, it's focusing on the main character as God himself. Because it's his power, it's his move, it's his will that is undergirding this entire story and moving it forward. Joshua did some amazing things. He's an amazing leader, but all of that he did in faith to the one who was calling him, to the Lord. Friends, that links Joshua's story to our story today. You see, we were brought from the wanderings of life and sin to the promise of his Spirit birthed within us by one greater than Joshua, by Jesus himself. And now, as a new creation in Christ, we have a new life to live, and it's not always easy. It's not always easy. Sure, we don't have literal floodwaters and fortified walls, but we do have things like relational challenges, don't we? Financial struggles, health challenges, grief. We have things in our lives that seem impossible, real situations that we have to make the conscious choice to choose faith over fear. Real life things that are way beyond anything we can do on our own. That's our story. And that's the story of God's people in Joshua. As the band makes their way forward, I want us to, at the kind of the brink, the threshold of this series, I want us to pause together and to lean in and to pray over places in our story that are difficult. I know there are challenges in this room this morning. I know there are heavy hearts in this room. And I know that there's more I don't know. And so I just want us to spend some time together seeking the Lord, hearing the promise, be strong and courageous. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I want us to spend some time there to seek his strength, to seek his presence to go before us, to be encouraged by the presence of the Lord. If Joshua needed this reminder, you know, the guy that got to see Moses do all the cool stuff, he got to see God do amazing things. If Joshua needed that reminder, I know I do. Be strong and courageous. Now, context is important here. Context is important. The strength, the courage, the promise of God's presence wherever you go assumes obedience, right? That whole passage turns on that idea of obedience to God's word. And for us today, we can't just stamp this promise on anything we want. It doesn't work like that. I can't stamp this on my desire to go get a new boat and come home and think that I shouldn't fear my wife finding out. I would really need to fear then. But you see this idea of be strong, courageous, like we can't just take that and make it serve our ends. This is about obedience to what God is calling us to, about the life He is leading us in. And it's that life, that leading today, friends, that I want you to hear the truth of the text, the promise of God's word that says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I don't know what call He's got in your life right now, what you're dealing with, but I do know who's with you. He is with you. So you can be strong and courageous no matter what's ahead. You don't have to fear. You don't have to let discouragement have the last word. He is mighty to save, and He's with you. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord Jesus, we thank You today for Your word. Lord, for the chance to join faithful generations gone before us who have looked back over the story of Your faithfulness and Your move of Your people and Your strength and Your promise and, God, Your unfailing love. Lord, thanks for that chance today. And Lord, as we have a life to live, God, You call us to live in obedience through Christ. Lord, obedience to Your will and Your way. And Lord, sometimes that life is tough. It's challenging. It can be discouraging. So Lord, today we just want to sit promise of Your presence. We don't have to be superheroes. We just have to look to You. To look to You, to know Your faithfulness and Your goodness to us, God. To hear Your promise, I will never leave You nor forsake You. And Lord, we understand today that that's not a license for us to go do what we want. So Lord, there's a part of this prayer that is surrender. Surrendering to Your will. Yes, Your word for our lives. So God, today we want to hear from You. We want to know You. Lord, we want to know the courage that comes in Your presence, the power of who You are. Lord, I pray for that heart that's wrestling with fear today or discouragement. Pray that this is a new day in that battle because You are here. We love You, Lord, and we give You thanks. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.